You are listening to Real World News.
Monsanto tests GMO in the US, interviewed Eric Dyer, campaigning for sustainable agriculture and genetic engineering at Greenpeace International. Real World Radio interviewed Eric Dyer about how Monsanto's GM trials contaminate crops and citizens in the United States and the role of citizens in the fight against agribusiness corporations. A strain of unauthorized genetically modified wheat was discovered in Oregon 10 days ago. It had already been tested by Monsanto in 16 states between 1998 and 2005. The crop had been modified to resist the herbicide Roundup, glyphosate, sold by the same company. The same variety was also tested in an experimental farm of agriculture and agri-food in Manitoba, Canada in 2003. On Tuesday the 11th, 75,000 people, 5,000 short of the 80,000 needed, signed a petition to the US Department of Agriculture to end all GM crops tests in the fields in the United States. This happened as the US corporation began new tests on wheat last week in North Dakota to develop a seed resistant to drought and other wheat killers besides Roundup. This happened despite the fact that no GM wheat is authorized in the world. The move had economic impacts. About 90% of the wheat produced in Oregon is for export, particularly to Asia. Japan already suspended a tender, and the European Union announced it will run tests on US wheat, which price dropped. Currently, nobody can tell how these GM seeds have been introduced in these fields. Monsanto said it was likely the result of an accident or of a sabotage. According to Greenpeace, US authorities said the GM seed was safe, based on Monsanto's words. According to the Center for Food Safety, CFS, federal regulators have a terrible track record of overseeing GMO field trials. In a statement, CFS pointed to past lawsuits in Hawaii and Oregon, where the USDA was forced to admit field trial contamination incidents that had previously been kept secret. Eric Dyer said Monsanto's strategy has close links with politicians. There are very close relations between companies and governments. It's what we call the revolving doors, which is basically public officials who, after working on drafting policies for governments, go and work for Monsanto or vice versa. The main problem in terms of biodiversity is that if varieties are lost because they've been contaminated, one can never get them back. One more limit crossed by the American giant. I think it's important to know that it's when people mobilize that usually we have a chance to make sure that the public good is maintained, repeats Eric Dyer.
So, hello, Eric Dyer. You are working for Greenpeace International in sustainable agriculture and genetic engineering as senior campaigner. Eric, recently Greenpeace made a petition against GM seed trials in fields in USA, which already gained about 85,000 signs, if I don't misunderstood.
Well, it's about 75,000, but it's close, yes, so it's getting there.
Okay, and can you explain what are you expecting from this petition, from the main targets of these petitions, which are the Departments of Agriculture of the United States?
Yes, I think this petition was launched by our office in the US, Greenpeace USA, following the contamination that was revealed a few weeks ago in a field, in a wheat field in Oregon, in the States, in northwest of the United States. A farmer found some genetically modified wheat that actually was identified as coming from an experimental wheat that Monsanto tested between 1998 and 2005 in some 16 states in the United States. And again, it's just very concerning because we don't know yet the extent to which this GE wheat has actually contaminated the wheat supply. It's very important for Oregon. Oregon exports 90% of its wheat to external markets and in particular Asia. And we know already that Japan, Korea, and Taiwan have already imposed trade restrictions because they want to test every shipment of U.S. wheat, that comes in the country to see if the wheat supply has been contaminated. I mean, it's important to remember that was an experiment that was not supposed to escape. I mean, when U.S. government authorities and any authorities in the world authorize experimental field trials, it's on the basis that it will actually not contaminate the environment and the food supply. And the wheat, this wheat contamination, G-wheat contamination, is only the last, the latest, if you want, of a series of contamination that took place. It already took place in the rice industry back in the mid, 2005, 2006. And it's exactly the same thing. So it just shows that, unfortunately, and we knew this from the beginning, once you release environmental seeds in the environment, it's very difficult to keep them in the field.
Yes. Are investigations made by authorities or to find the reasons, the origins of these contaminations?
Well, it's very unclear at this stage. I think it's very early. First of all, it's quite surprising, but it's 8 years after the end of the field trials that Monsanto did in Oregon. And indeed, there are lots of questions how, after 8 years, this is happening. Maybe we know about this. Maybe the contamination is more widespread. We don't know. Is contamination, as I said, has been only identified in one field in Oregon, but that was tested in 16 other states. So again, I think there are two things that the authorities have to do, three things the authorities have to do. The first one is certainly to monitor and make sure that we have information about the extent of the contamination in the food supply. And I think external markets are doing this, and testing will take place, not only in Asia, but also in Europe. Number two, I think they must do an investigation on how this experimental G-wheat got into that field in Oregon. And three, I think it's obvious that the current regulations on field testing do not work. There are contaminations. And it's why Greenpeace US basically launched this petition to demand the suspension of all field trials, because it's obviously, things like that should not happen. And we were told years after years that, this measures will be taken for this not to happen. And this is, again, yet another incident which proves that doesn't work.
I read that wheat was, until now, an exception in terms of GM trials, because it was a seed which was for human consumption. And can we speak about a red line crossed by Monsanto with this case?
I think you're correct. Most of the existing commercialized GM crops, think of corn or soya or even canola, is largely for animal feed. It's fed to cattle to produce meat or milk or eggs. And it's, not really used in large quantities by humans. Although, in processed foods in the US and in Canada, for example, there's lots of byproducts or ingredients that are actually made from, genetically modified corn. So you're right, I think, in the sense that wheat, it's obviously kind of an iconic crop in at least in the Western world, and also in parts of North Africa in terms of couscous, for example. There's lots of important kind of emblematic elements to wheat. But indeed, it's eaten by humans directly, although there's some wheat also goes to animal feed. It's important to remember that there was a huge victory in 2004. It was consumers globally, but also farmers in Canada and a bit in the US, who actually opposed the introduction of Monsanto G wheat or GM wheat. And Monsanto, who is not known as for a company to be shy, actually backed down on this one. So I think it's important to remember that context. I mean, one thing which came out of the latest contamination scandal in the US was that Monsanto actually had started again doing field trials of wheat. And there are two states now where there are tests, it's North Dakota and Hawaii, mm-hmm. where Monsanto is testing GE wheat. So obviously they want to bring back this. So despite the opposition in 2004, they're still forge ahead trying to introduce on the market a product that the market doesn't want.
And what are the declarations made by Monsanto? What are its answers to these?
Well, I think Monsanto's answers, I mean, are very similar to answers that were given by other companies. I just want to remind you that Bayer in 2005 during the Liberty Link genetic contamination from the rice said it was an act of God,
yes.
Right? So, I mean, again, I think those companies are trying to put the blame elsewhere. So, you know, in the case of Monsanto, you know, some of their public officials said that it might have been an act of sabotage, you know, from anti-GE protesters or something like that, which is totally ludicrous. You know, I mean, people are against GE crops, you know, are not going there to spread it, that's for sure. So obviously, you know, the companies are trying to shift the blame to somebody else, whereas in fact they are the main drivers. I mean, you know, if they didn't market this product, we would not have this problem. So again, I think, and we see it already, I'm sure they will blame whoever can be blamed, whoever doesn't have a good lawyer, will be blamed. But I think we have this why. I think the U.S. authorities have to go down, you know, to the bottom of this issue and to try to explain how it came out, how this GE wheat made its way to this field in Oregon 8 years after the official ending of the field trials by Monsanto.
Yes, and there are a lot of cases of complicity between these companies such as Monsanto and authorities and governments. Can you tell us a bit about these links?
Well, it's causing the connections and, you know, very cozy relations between industry and government. I mean, again, I think this has been, you know, it's well known. It's the what we call the revolving doors, which basically it's public officials, you know, after working in drafting policy for government on, let's say, on biotechnology, then go and work for Monsanto, or vice versa. You know, so there's always this back and forth between senior position in government in terms of those policy and the corporate interests of those companies. Again, the film by Marie-Monique Robin, The World According to Monsanto, I think it's definitely, you know, something that people should watch, because it just documents very clearly the links between government officials and policy and corporate interest, or at least of some corporations, mm-hmm. In that level. So I think it's sad. It's when public officials are not there for the protection of a common good, but we face basically issues of of policy that are grossly inadequate to protect the public interest and protect the environment and protect farmers' economic interest. Because really, what's happening now in the U.S. as a result of this contamination is that some farmers will have to have more cost to store the wheat, you know, at their on their farms or off farms, to wait until this issue is solved in order that they can sell the wheat on international markets. So again, it's ordinary farmers who are going to be basically paying for the mistakes made somewhere down the line of introducing GE crops in the environment.
And for instance, this week, we saw in France an administrative court which suspended the extensions of Monsanto supplies. So can the justice do something faced with this, the governments and companies?
Well, I think it's important to know that it's when people mobilize that, you know, usually we have a chance to make sure that the public good is maintained. And again, I'm just talking from a North American perspective. There's a very vibrant food movement in the U.S., which is more than just an anti-Monsanto campaign. It's more than just labeling of G, because you know in North America, in US and Canada, it's we don't have mandatory labeling. It's contrary to Europe and 60 other countries in the world. It's more than just people who want to grow their own vegetables in their garden. It's the sum of all this. And I think lots of people are concerned about the quality of food they're getting, concerned about giving too much power to the big business and agro-business control of the food supply. So I think, again, we can, collectively push back those corporations and governments and make government to act in a way which is, for sustainable development. Again, the victory against G Wheat back in 2004 was precisely this. It was a coalition of global coalition of consumers across the world saying we don't want G Wheat. Farmers in Canada who realized that they could lose market and that they knew that consumers did not want that kind of product, and environmentalists coming together that forced Monsanto to withdraw its application. So we can, even if those powerful corporations are very, indeed, very powerful and have lots of influence, we can push them back and we can make sure that the government agencies who are supposed to be there to protect us actually do so and act accordingly. So I think it's a message of hope. I think we all have to do our bit, and I think all the NGOs involved in this, but also lots of people in who are the first one on the front line. I'm thinking of rural communities who are in Argentina, who are basically were spread with Roundup ready pesticide on G crops, who are the first one to suffer from health problems. All those different movements or groups have to come together and oppose this kind of a food system, which is not good for the environment, not good for feeding people, and certainly not good for our future.
So you are optimist for the futures of this fight?
Well, I'm both realist and optimist in the sense that, we have to realize that those corporations are very powerful, that the problems are very serious. It's not going to be an easy fight. But at the same time, there's more of us. There's millions and millions of people. So it's again, it's up to us to mobilize. There are NGOs, but we should not wait just for the NGOs. People don't wait for Greenpeace or Friends of the Earth. They can mobilize themselves in their communities and spread the message and talk to their families, neighbors, and be activated and join in what is the local fights. And currently in North America, it's certainly on the field trials, and that's why Greenpeace launched this petition against field trials. But there are also farmers in North America who are now launching a class action against Monsanto for loss there. So it could be a legal battle, it could be a mobilization battle, it could be a battle on labeling, and it's definitely the case in the US. I think it's a broader movement, and we've defeated G Wheat in 2004, and we can repeat this again now.
Okay, and you people can already go to sign your petitions, which is on the website of Greenpeace International.
It's actually, this petition can only be signed by people in the US and in Canada.
Okay.
Because it's a petition addressed to the US government, and for some reasons this is the way it's done. But so people can, who are listening to us, who live in the US or know people in the US, they can convince people in the US and Canada to go and sign this. So they can go to the Greenpeace US site, and you'll see it on the front page on the right hand side when you go down. There's a big picture of a field, and you can click on this, and it takes only a few minutes to do so.
Fine. Well, thank you very much, Eric Darrier, and good luck for your fight.
Thank you.
You are listening to Real World News.